In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Now we all know that Jesus is a great storyteller. Jesus is a teacher. And one of the most important ways that he teaches is by telling stories. We call his stories parables. They are short stories that are meant to make a point and to teach us something. Well, today we get a doozy. In today's gospel, Jesus tells us a story about a man in hell. That's right. The same Jesus who said to the woman caught in adultery, "I don't condemn you." The same Jesus who said in the Sermon on the Mount, "Judge not, lest ye be judged." The same Jesus who said to his disciples, "In my Father's house there are many mansions, and I am going to prepare a place for you." The same Jesus who said to the thief on the cross, "Today you will be with me in paradise." The same Jesus who taught us to pray, saying, "Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who trespass against us." This same Jesus who teaches us about love and redemption and the power of forgiveness, and who offers us the promise of eternal life and a heavenly kingdom. This Jesus today is talking about a man in hell. The man Jesus was talking about was a rich man. He had had fine robes, the best food, but all those comforts are gone now. Now he's in agony. He begs for mercy. He needs help, but help is too far away. He calls out to Father Abraham, who is far off, way in the distance, caring for and feeding this poor man that he recognizes as being someone that used to sit outside his own gate. And he begs Abraham to send this poor man named Lazarus down to help him and to show him some mercy. And in Jesus' story, Abraham says, "No, he can't get to you." You see, Jesus is telling a story about a man that begs for mercy from a God figure, father figure, from Abraham, and doesn't get it. You know, it's understandable if you're scratching your head and thinking that this isn't the kind of story that you like to hear Jesus telling. We don't like to think of people suffering and condemned to hell. We don't like to think of people begging for mercy and coming away empty-handed. Surely, if we believe in a God of forgiveness and mercy, then this story Jesus is telling will make us a little bit uncomfortable. That is, until we realize that maybe Jesus isn't telling this story to make us question the mercy of God. Maybe he's telling it to make us question our own mercy. It's not God's mercy that is on trial in this story here. It is our own mercy that's on trial. And then when you realize that, you get more uncomfortable. Because you start to wonder about all the times that you had the opportunity to show someone mercy and failed. Don't think it doesn't happen every day to every one of us, including myself. We have the opportunity to show someone kindness and mercy, and we don't do it. It makes us uncomfortable. We find ways to avoid it. We make it someone else's job, someone else's problem. We'll say things like, "Well, that's the government's problem. That's the government's job. It's not mine. It's not my responsibility." How many times in the name of mercy do we put up barriers between ourselves and the people that need it? You know, I've learned that you have to pay attention when Jesus is telling stories. You have to pay attention to the details that he adds and the details that he lives out. Jesus is always clever. For instance, in all of Jesus' parables, in every story he told throughout the Gospels, he never gives his characters names. Never. It's always a certain king, a manager, a merchant, a priest, a Pharisee, a Levite, a widow, a rich man. He always uses generic terms for his characters, except for one time and one time only. This story. Right here, where he talks about a poor man named Lazarus, who was carried away by the angels after his death to be with Abraham and to eat at his table. Even the rich man in this story has no name. But the poor man, he has a name. He might not have had much of an identity to the rest of the world. To the rest of the world, he might have been just some bum on the corner. But to Jesus, he has a name. His name is Lazarus. He's known by God, even if the rest of the world passed him by. And here's another little detail that it would be easy to miss. All that Lazarus wanted were the scraps. He wasn't looking for wealth or riches or revolution. He wasn't trying to change the whole social order or to take the rich man's robes. He was just hungry. He just wanted the extra food that fell from the man's table. The rich man couldn't say that he didn't have the ability to help this man. The help that this man needed was laying on the floor amongst his trash. If the rich man had treated Lazarus half as well as he treated his own dogs, it would have been something. Even the neighborhood dogs had more compassion. The problem was not the ability of the rich man to help. So what was his problem? Was he never told about the importance of recognizing the humanity of others? Had he never heard of the mercy of God? Was God's will that we should care about what happens to others never made clear to him? Well, no, it had been. He had heard the warnings of the prophets like Amos. He knew the psalms that sang of God's mercy. He knew the laws that commanded the love of and care for neighbor. So what was his problem? And then, when the rich man cries out for help, why does he think that it is Lazarus's job to come and help him when he couldn't be bothered to lift a finger to help Lazarus in this world? Why does he think, even in the bowels of hell, why does he still think that Lazarus is supposed to be at his beck and call to serve him and his family? Why does he expect more compassion than he's willing to show? And then you realize maybe that's the problem. This man is expecting more compassion than he is showing. Just like we so often expect more forgiveness from God than we are willing to show to others, despite the fact that we are always praying for God to forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And then you realize, well, maybe God is answering our prayer. Maybe we are getting our wish. Maybe God is forgiving us exactly the way that we are forgiving others. Just like the rich man is getting just as much mercy as he was willing to show. Now, mind you, this is a story to make a point. I don't think that we actually do get what we deserve in life. I am sure that God's mercy and forgiveness are infinitely greater than ours. He's shown it. But then I have to remember that this parable isn't about God's mercy. It's about ours. God isn't on trial here. We are. One more little detail that Jesus leaves out. Abraham says to the rich man, there is this huge chasm fixed between Lazarus and you. This huge division has been created, and we can't get to you, and you can't get to us. Jesus, in his story, says that a chasm has been fixed between the rich man and Lazarus, and this chasm is the reason why the rich man is suffering now. But what Jesus doesn't say is who put it there. And I'm willing to bet that it wasn't God.